This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to keep up with everything that's happening, you can stream anytime, anywhere on this Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. The best way to keep up with all of the great content here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Also tonight, Grizzlies and Nuggets. We got a cup game. The Grizzlies are seeking their first ever Emirates NBA Cup win. No Jokic tonight, so perhaps maybe the opportunity for the first ever win at home in the NBA Cup. Pre-game will start at 6:30. For that, you can hear Eric's call at 7 p.m. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays is, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime, also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast and America's number one college football pregame tailgate show, the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, airing on Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. local. Also, I believe, Tim, now we've relaunched a new VSiN app, so you can listen anytime, anywhere as well, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, the VSiN Watch app. It is free. You can listen to us for free. So go to your app stores and download that bad boy and have it in your pocket. And if you missed the VSiN Tailgate Show, you could always rewatch it as well.
There you go. And that way you can get all the up-to-date information because they get out all the great information on Saturdays. So make sure you are watching that. Tim, we got a disaster in the Wright household right now, buddy.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
All right. So my life adjusting to life post-DirecTV, which is not a life that I'm enjoying, and I'm sick of everybody telling me how great it is. It's not. Well, all these wonderful streaming opportunities you have, you know what it doesn't work if you don't have, Tim?
Internet?
Yep. My fiber line was cut from the utility pole to my house, so it was one of those ones where my wife and I both got home yesterday, and you could see the line hanging like right in front of our driveway. And we're like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And so we survived last night. We had winds and rainstorms last night. But this morning, I sent in the whatever, you know, I got in contact with AT&T saying, like, hey, the line is not down, but it's damaged and, you know, we're on a street. Somebody's going to run into that bad boy. It's going to be cut. Of course, you know, if it's not down, they're probably not putting it to the high priority list. And that's not really of their concern. So sure enough, I get back at lunch right after the morning show, and you can just see the line is just snapped, hanging from the utility pole. I was like, well, I know what that means. And yep, do not have internet. So I have scheduled a new AT&T appointment, but that won't happen until after work tomorrow. And I'm on solo dad duty tonight. My wife's going out with her girlfriends, which is great. I'm always happy when she gets out of the house and goes and enjoys herself. But I now have like an entire evening of trying to entertain a 14-month-old without Bluey. So, yeah.
Hey, man, take it from Bluey's dad, baby. Be creative. That's the most... I hate that show. That dad is too creative.
They have too many good ideas.
I don't like it. It's not realistic. I know they're dogs talking, so that by itself is not really that realistic. But I don't like the Bluey show because
the theme song goes.
It makes me. It does.
The theme song goes.
Da 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 da.
And like my daughter, like if she can hear it anywhere, it's like all of a sudden, like, and then she'll clap at the end. Hooray!
So my kid is 7, and I think he was probably your daughter's age, maybe a little older, but he was. That was when all, Baby Shark was.
Oh God, that would have driven me insane.
And he just anywhere he'd go, he'd stop in his tracks, start doing the Baby Sharks. It was
also the Grizzlies play tonight, so now it's like that thing of, okay, you can stream to your like I can use my phone to watch it, but I don't think if you don't have Wi-Fi, I don't know if it can stream to the TV. So I'll be watching an NBA Cup game on my phone. Looking forward to that.
But other than that, how was the play?
Yeah. How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Let's talk about what we're coming up on in the program. We'll get into our thoughts. We have, of course, another college football playoff rankings show. And while he and I don't get wrapped up into it too much, we do feel like at times they kind of tip their hand. Hey, here's how they're thinking. So
I think today's going to be fascinating, and I know we'll talk about it more, but they dropped Georgia 9 spots, and they respond by winning by 14 over a top 10 team. Do they just bring them back up 9 spots tonight?
Well, that's kind of the other thing. I was saying this to Calkins this morning. You know, Georgia's in this weird spot where they're a quality win for everyone, but because they don't get to play themselves, like they don't get the opportunity. It's like if you beat Georgia, it's a huge resume line, and it like bumps you up spectacularly, but it's like, well, Georgia doesn't get to play themselves, so it's like every time you can kind of nitpick their wins. But I do think that's the best place to start, so we'll do that. We'll talk about the college football awards from last week. We will get into the list. Of course, as mentioned, Jokic is out tonight. More trouble in Philly. We had AAC Black Monday, I guess.
Huh.
Oh, boy. I guess it's good they're getting ahead on the coaching carousel cycle. You know, those were some interesting things. Also, if you're an...
What a hoot.
I would say if you're an Owl team, which my high school, the MS Owls, which, by the way, we kicked...
You haven't fired your coach yet, have you?
No, I do think we might have borderline covered.
Okay.
We kicked a field goal to make Baylor have to play offense in the second half. So they couldn't run and clock us until like the end of the third quarter. So that kind of sped things up. So if you're an Owl program right now, though, you apparently need a head coach. It is the year of the Owl, or I guess it's not the year of the Owl. So we'll discuss that, get into a little bit of NFL and more, tell your story, get out of here. But I think, Tim, you're right. I think let's start there. I think the first big question is, you can look at it one of two ways. How far does Tennessee fall, or how high does Georgia climb?
I think it should be more the latter and Georgia. And, you know, the irony of all of this is that Texas last week was ranked, I believe, number 3 by the committee.
I think Ohio State was 2. They were 3, yes.
Yeah.
And they got the 2 seed.
Texas went out and didn't cover against a below 500 Arkansas team now?
I believe they're 5-5. They still have a La Tech game, so maybe they're
team. Yeah. Remind me, Jackson Dart and Ole Miss, they struggled to beat that Arkansas team, correct?
Let's see. They won by 36. I think they hit the over on their own.
Okay. Okay. But Jackson Dart only threw for like, you know, it was like a lot of...
It was like a quiet 5-15.
Oh, okay. So they had some success. Okay.
63-31. They did go up 31.
But remind me, though, Texas, third in the rankings by the committee, when they played Georgia, they fared well at home, right? They were a favorite, so they must have won that game.
They had a very respectable 2-score loss at home as a, I believe, 6-point favorite, 7-point favorite. I don't know. I had money line.
Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You keeping track at home?
All right. So Texas, but they have a lot of top 25 wins, right?
They have they're an SEC team and they're playing an SEC schedule.
Well, yeah, so they got that going for them.
Uh-huh.
So, clearly Texas deserves to be number 3 with all of the validity behind that. And I'm not forgetting about you, Penn State, or you, Indiana, who all 3 of them combined to have 0 wins against current top 25 teams. Look, Georgia doesn't need my defending. And they're not a perfect team. And they lost to Alabama on the road. And they lost to Ole Miss on the road. But they also have wins now over Tennessee, Texas, and Clemson, all top 20 teams, 2 of which are top 5, top 10 teams, 1 of which is number 3 in the country. Like, Georgia last year, I don't want to say skated by, because you know they lost the SEC championship as an undefeated team and dropped four spots out of the playoff, but Georgia deserves to be in the top five, man. I know they've got two losses, and it's that weird decision or that weird situation where they lost to Bama, but Bama lost to Tennessee. But you know, Ole Miss
beat Georgia, but they haven't played Georgia. The other two.
Right, and it's like, but Georgia, but how much do bad losses count? Because Ole Miss lost to Kentucky, and that's a really, really bad loss. It's like, what do you do with all of this? But at the end of the day, the committee's like, yeah, they got two losses, and Texas only has one. Like, yeah, but to Georgia at home by two touchdowns. So I don't want to get worked up too much, but like, the committee's going to have a really tough decision. And then, let's be honest, like Tennessee, they're like, well, why do we get screwed? Because we beat Alabama, but we also lost to Arkansas. And I think Tennessee, at the end of the day, is probably going to be in some trouble here.
I think you're right. I think Tennessee's path...
Unless Notre Dame loses to Army.
Well, I was going to say, I think Tennessee's path's pretty clear. You are rooting for Ohio State to blow out Indiana.
Yes, 100%. You want that to be like 95-0.
You're in the weird spot where you're rooting for the Gators. You're a big Gator fan this week against Ole Miss, and then you're a USC fan when they play Notre Dame. Like, to
or
me,
Army.
Yeah, or Army, but you know which way I'm betting that bad boy.
Yeah, that was weird. So last week, it opened 15.5 at DraftKings, goes down, reposted around 17, bet down to 14 yesterday, and I was talking to a couple people who influenced the market, and they said it ain't going lower than that. It'll be bet back up, and it has been. So that is now 15.5, 16, so we'll see. Yeah, if you're Tennessee, unfortunately for you, first and foremost, don't lose to Vanderbilt in 2 weeks. Like, that's
obviously
number one. But yeah, I mean, the auto bids are kind of the sticking point, because the Big 12 is doing what we anticipated the Big 12 to do, and BYU lost over the weekend, NBD. Boise State gets it done, and they don't even matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you want Indiana to get absolutely curb stomped. Like, that, I think, is number one.
Yes.
Because the committee, I think, has already showed us, by having Penn State ahead of them when they have common opponents, and Indiana fared better against said common opponents, that Penn State is ahead of them already tells you the committee is looking for a reason to bounce Indiana.
I think that's fair.
They're 103rd in strength of schedule right now. I think Indiana deserves to be ahead of Penn State at the very least. But they're just sitting there basically saying, even though we look at what's in the body of work to this point, they're telling us, beat Ohio State or play competitive against Ohio State, and then you can be here. But if you're a Tennessee fan, I know a lot of them are obviously listening. I think you are hoping that Ohio State opens up that big old can of whoop tushy and wins by six touchdowns, and then Indiana, I don't think, is making the playoff.
I think you're right. So here's why I'm not getting bent out of shape about Texas right now. I really believe the only reason why Texas is ranked where they are is that they're basically just saying Texas is leading the SEC, therefore we're ranking them here. I think it's still pretty simple for Texas. I think it's, you had better beat Texas A&M, because if Texas A&M wins that game, it likely bounces Texas not only from the SEC championship game. I think at that point, it's going to bounce them from the playoff.
And I think it should.
I agree with you.
And we'll see how it plays out. I mean, that's the difference between Texas and Penn State, and why I like having fun with Texas. But at least they're going to play Texas A&M. And if they win that game, they're probably going to play, what, Alabama, more than likely?
Likely. At this point, I think the scenarios are, if Bama wins out, they're pretty much good. It seems to me like if Bama wins out, it's going to be the winner of A&M versus Texas. Or the A&M-Texas winner versus Bama.
Yeah.
Although, I guess if... in that, yes, because in that scenario, A&M would be 7-1. In the league, and Bama would be 6-2, but Georgia would also be 6-2. I think it all comes back to Bama's strength of schedule, like in the league, that gives them the nod. They're the team that's likely to go.
So over at the Action Network, Stuckey wrote it out. So he said both Texas and Texas A&M control their own destiny. Right. Texas A&M plays Auburn this weekend
with a Texas rat line.
Texas played Kentucky. Oh, buddy. War damn Eagle.
No. I'm thinking game of the year.
Oh, wow. Okay. But they do play each other in the final regular season. If both the Longhorns and Aggies take care of business this weekend, the winner of that game will most likely take on Alabama, assuming the Crimson Tide win out at Oklahoma versus Auburn, since they would win all multi-team tiebreakers due to conference opponent strength of record.
Because basically they're getting credit for beating Georgia. Like that, in the end, like that's what the tiebreaker comes down to. And so I just kind of, I'm in this spot where I understand everybody's criticism of Texas, and I'm not pushing back saying like, no, I think Texas is good. Because honestly, I've kind of been fading Texas, man. Like I'm not as sold on them, but my whole deal is they're going to get the chance to play their way in one way or the other. And I think if they lose next week, I think they'll be out.
And I think they should be. I just looked at that Texas A&M line. Oh, buddy, we might be going opposite sides there. That line stinks so much.
I know it stinks, but sometimes you just have to go with it.
I gotta trust my process. We got a couple days.
Yeah, but you got Peyton Thorne on one end, and that A&M front. Now, I will admit, I was a little hesitant to declare game of the year when I heard Mike Elko say, they were asking him about how do you like keep your head up to play Auburn before the Texas game. And he's like, you know, we're only focused on Texas. He was
only
trying
focus
to
focus on Texas.
Yeah, he slipped up. He should have said Auburn. And so that was a little troubling.
Dude, that is a massive look ahead spot there too.
But sometimes you just have to close your eyes and go, it's Peyton Thorne.
Look, you and Hugh Freeze need to go. After the season, you go to a cottage somewhere, and you need to.
You don't really want to go to cottages with Hugh Freeze. You could get in real trouble there.
That's a good point.
I'm a married man.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I might have to add an Auburn to the list there. Check that one out. We might be head-to-head on that one. But, look, we went head-to-head this past weekend, even though I think I said I didn't really like the play. But Tulane, woo, buddy, they they're the best team in the AAC, and I don't think it's very much
up that's
for debate.
Also, so because Tulane and Memphis play next Thursday, neither has a game this weekend. So there's already been an early look-ahead line, and there's been some – it's like 14.5. And while I do think that's a little high, that didn't shock me power rating-wise.
No. Looking down. Yeah, they haven't said.
I don't know if they posted. Like, everyone also freaks out about. Like, has Circa even posted that game? Because it's not until next week.
No.
Yeah.
DraftKings. So I'll just say this: if you're thinking about it in this regard, DraftKings right now, because we know what the matchup is, we don't know who will host it. Right? If Tulane loses to Memphis,
correct.
I
so
they
if,
go to
if Tulane wins based on, well, that's the other question. So. If we presume that Notre Dame is going to put it on Army, I think that means that Tulane will pass Army in the playoff rankings. The way that the home team will go to the AAC team that is ranked the highest in the college football playoff rankings.
Ah, okay.
So we won't officially know, but I think if Army loses to Notre Dame and Tulane beats Memphis, I think Tulane's going to host.
Got it. So right now, the futures market is Tulane minus 280, Army plus 220. That equates to around a 7.5-point spread.
Yeah,
based off of money line. So yeah, if it's at Tulane, you're probably looking near double digits. Now Notre Dame is 16 on a neutral against Army at Circa. Notre Dame's probably a touchdown or better on a neutral against Tulane. So we kind of do simple math there. It's probably north. It's like between 7 and 10. For this line, for the AAC championship?
Well, then there's Memphis people that are freaking out that it's because it's Tulane minus 14.5 against Memphis, and I was like,
"Oh, that's what you're talking about." Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about.
I used too many pronouns there.
My bad. Yeah. Hey, man. Maybe I would be intrigued by taking a little Memphis. I mean, look, I'm gonna be home alone on Thanksgiving night. I'm gonna be betting the crap out of Tulane Memphis.
So
what am I gonna do? Watching? I mean, can we the Thanksgiving?
Yeah. My bad.
I mean,
I will say
we used to laugh at the Lions game.
I'm going to enjoy the Tommy DeVito. I'm going to enjoy the Tommy DeVito experience this time more than I did last time because I did not get swept up in DeVito mania. But now it's just like completely on to next year. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Well, I think because last year there were dopes who said, well, maybe he's the future of the franchise.
Yeah, and that's what drove me insane.
Now it's like we suck and we need a quarterback. And you're on Shador watch right now.
It's like, that's the other problem. It's like, we clearly need a quarterback, and it's going to be like...
It's the worst year to get one.
Shador.
How about Bo Nix? By the way, I mean, my bad, Bo. You're a pretty good quarterback, my man.
I'm not ready to go there yet.
I mean, he's better than I expected. I thought it would be an absolute disaster. And, you know, now people are telling me he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I'm like, all right, pump the brakes. Like, let's... You know, there were a lot of people who told me Jackson Merrill was going to win NL Rookie of the Year over the sensation that was Paul Skeens, and how'd that work out?
That did not work out very well.
23-7. Shut your mouth.
I was just glad Livy and Paul finally got some FaceTime. You know, it was just good to see them finally get on the camera. All right, here were the kind of the other things that I was curious about, and I want to know like what you think. Is it clear to you now with BYU's losing to Kansas on Saturday night, or maybe that was Sunday morning. I have no idea. At that point, it was so late.
It was glorious, whatever day it was. And I was sitting there going, God, they're going to do it again.
I thought they were
going to do it again and score this touchdown. And I would have pushed. Actually, I think I had 3.5, but I had money line too. And I was like, they're going to do it again, aren't these? And they didn't.
They did not. Sadly, we had a sweet middle too. There was like a sweet spot to middle where we both could have won.
Oh, that's right, because you took BYU.
Yeah, I took 2.5. Like, I just like...
Yeah, we could have landed 3. We would have both been happy.
Yeah, that would have been everybody wins, shake hands, move on. It's clear to me at this point, and see if you agree, Big 12's a one-bid league.
Yep, lock.
I think it's clear now the ACC's a one-bid league. I don't see how the loser's going to get in.
They're not. They're one-bid. The Miami loss to Georgia Tech sewed it up. It's done.
Okay, and so now we are at a...
And now you could also get to the committee's going to drop this. Well, you know, BYU lost, so that now that loss looks a little worse, right? Because SMU, so...
For sure.
Yeah.
So to me, it all really boils down to is how many does the Big Ten get, and are we in a position where... And I think this has been clear to me, but I think Notre Dame is in no matter what if they win out.
I agree.
But I do think if they lose to SC, I think they're out.
Yes, I agree. Notre Dame has to win out. I think Notre Dame loses this weekend or to USC, they're out. And I am going to be full on clenched. I could make a diamond next Saturday when I'm in LA watching that game because I've never been to the Coliseum, but I've seen in the recent years. So
they have redone it since I've been there. So it's apparently nicer.
In 2012. USC stunk, and Notre Dame had to go there and beat them to get to the championship, in which they would get murdered by Alabama. And then in 2018, they had to do the same thing to get to the playoff, and both of those games were very pucker tight. So I am horrified about next Saturday. But yes, to simplify it, Notre Dame is in with a win, out with a loss. I think that is pretty safe to say right now.
Is there anything else that fascinates you? Because to me, it's like...
I think the other one... So I think if we keep it simple, ACC 1.
Yep.
Big 12 1.
Yes.
G5 1.
Yes.
Obviously. Notre Dame, if they win,
yes.
That's 4 spots.
Yep.
So now we have 8 spots for the Big 12, or excuse me, for the Big 10 and the SEC. And then I think... You can safely put Penn State in at 11-1. They could lose, I guess, this weekend to Minnesota, but I doubt that.
He's pretty good at beating who he's supposed to beat.
Oregon's in. I think Oregon's in right now. They're a lock. They're 11-0. They've only got Washington left. They've got a win over Ohio State. They could lose the next two. They're in.
I think you're right. The only thing
actually, I think if they lose to Washington, I don't even think they go to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, so then, yeah, okay, so they're in.
Yeah, so they're in. Ohio State is, if they beat Indiana and Michigan, they're in. So the question is, Indiana versus the fifth SEC team.
Right.
And it's going to become a beauty contest because Indiana's going to more than likely, they ain't going to lose to Purdue. If they lose this weekend, it's going to come down to how did they look, game control, all of that BS. Their strength of schedule will get better despite likely losing. They're an 11.5-point dog. So that's what it comes down to. And then the last little kind of curveball is, does Boise State get a bye?
Yeah, and I think
if Colorado wins out, I think they jump Boise State. That's just my gut.
And I kind of think if BYU wins out, they stay in front.
Maybe. I don't know.
I really think they are.
You think BYU wins out?
Well, I'm just saying, I think they'll stay in front. I'm not convinced BYU wins out, but I think BYU
loses Saturday.
I think if they do win out, I think that they'll stay ahead.
BYU better have their buttoned up going down to Arizona State, man.
Well, I mean, right now that's playing for if Arizona State wins, I think they get in the title game.
Yep. God, Kansas State, man, what are you doing? I mean, they got
I did not get much right this weekend. I got that one right.
I spent there. So Big 12 media days were in Vegas because, of course.
Yeah, obviously. You're Big 12 country, baby.
Big 12 country, you know? And we were sitting at the sports book, and there was like some like, and I'm not knocking fan blogs. Like, you know, we all have to start somewhere. But this dude, it was me, and like Brett McMurphy was there, and a couple other people. And this dude is like, how does Avery Johnson not win the Heisman Trophy? I'm like,
wait, what?
Yeah, that he was like screaming, like, how does he not win it? I'm like, I don't.
He plays at Kansas State.
They can lose games.
They're going to be like 9-3.
Yeah. And I was like, well, they're going to win the Big 12, and he's going to run. I'm like, okay, dude. Like, and that's where I always like point to, like, that's what I love about gambling. Because like I had someone, I tweeted out the updated NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year odds over the weekend when Bo Nix played very, very well, and Jaden on Thursday was fine, but. You know, they lost to Philadelphia. And it went from like, Jaden was like minus 2,000 down to minus 400. And Bo Nix went from like 12 to 1 out to like 3 to 1. And someone responds like, it's not even close. It's all this, you know, perception. Bo Nix is better. And I'm like, go bet it then, man. What are you yelling at me for? Like all these people who, you know, when I tweet out lines, lock of the century, I'm like, the window's right there.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it. If you believe it so strongly, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, but I think SEC country is going to be quite fired up because look, it's proving to be this gauntlet of a year for the conference. I mean, sorry to Missouri. I mean, I know Eli Drinkwitz thought you guys were going to be.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. We have to fix the injury reports next year.
Dude, it's bad, man. It's bad.
I mean, books are going to get involved, right? Hey, you want our money? We're like, it's time to go to the NFL thing. You're going to announce who's at practice, limited participant, full participant, however you're going to do it. You're going to announce practice, and then you are going to give a real injury report.
At some point, if we're going to go, if college football is going full on professional, which we're already there pretty much.
But I mean, let's be real. It's the number two bet sport.
Yeah, it is, without a doubt. And there are weekends because there's so many games where the volume is going to outweigh
yes.
NFL. And yeah, the Brady Cook thing was a joke. You know, we've got differing reports, you know, doubtful, and then Thamel said, what, on Saturday morning, true game time decision, whatever the hell that means. And then he goes, I mean, and the betting market was all over the place
yes.
on that particular game. Like, it got as high as, like, 14.
I didn't bet against Brady Cook.
I bet against Drew Pine.
Yes. Like, if it's going, and that's the other thing. All these conferences want to take the money.
Oh, sure.
The TV networks want to take the money. It's like, all right, if we're going to do it like this, let's do it right. But, like, that's kind of the other last question that I have is, like, are we really going to have a 12-team playoff where there's not an SEC home game?
Let's see. Penn State's getting a home game.
Yep.
Loser of the Big Ten championships getting a home game, assuming it's Oregon, Ohio State.
Yep.
I am not totally convinced Notre Dame's getting a home game. That NIU loss is going to continue to be a sticking point, and their strength of schedule now is like 80-something. Now they play Army, which will, as crazy as it sounds, will help their strength of schedule.
Does Army help their strength of schedule more than SC?
Yes, I think so. As of right now, based off of the committee. I mean, Army's ranked. SC is 5-5.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. I'm not convinced Notre Dame is a lock to get a home game. I would lean that way if they go 11-1. So that's 3 home games. Yeah, I think they get one.
I'm with you. I also think when it's
Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon loser, Notre Dame, and then who would get the fourth? It ain't gonna be Indiana because they're gonna
lose
to Ohio State. So it'll be one of the SEC schools.
I'm guessing it's going to likely be the loser of the title game.
Well, I'm just grateful on multiple fronts. Number one, Brian Kelly makes me laugh. Number two, there was a pretty clear-cut scenario where they could backdoor their way in if they had won out. So Florida and Sunbelt Billy, thank you for getting that done. And, God, that was hilarious. And now they're looking at that buyout, and they're saying, man, we can't really get out of this thing, can we?
I still think, like, as long as he lands, who's new Cam Newton, the Detroit kid?
Bryce Underwood.
As long as he lands Underwood, everyone's going to be like, kind of like upset, but like, there's nothing you can do. I mean, that's the other thing for me. It's like, are we going to get through this cycle and there's not going to be a Big Ten or an SEC job open?
The only one would be Arkansas. Is Sam Pittman going to retire?
I've heard rumors that Purdue might.
Purdue, yeah. They can't. I mean, that's done. Like, you got to get rid of.
Now, the only thing that was pointed out, I think Tom Fornelli pointed
Walters,
out.
Is that what it is?
Ryan Walters. But yeah. Purdue's AD is retiring, and he's already announced it. Does he really want to do a coaching search at the end?
I mean, that team is non-competitive. Like, they're awful. I get that it's Purdue, but they lost to Notre Dame by 59, Wisconsin by 46.
Shout out Phil Longo.
Oregon 35. They scored a total of 0 points against Oregon and Ohio State. Look, their schedule's been pretty brutal, and they wrap up the season against Indiana. So, like, you could argue that Purdue may have the hardest schedule in the country. They played Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. Those are 4 top 8 teams, and they have Indiana still left. But they just get absolutely obliterated in every game outside of the Illinois game where they were getting crushed, and then they put in a different quarterback, and they played a little bit better.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's wrap up the week that was in college football. College Football Awards coming up next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Shopping at Robert Irwin Jewelers' Black Friday event is a holiday tradition because you can buy gifts that give gifts. Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Black Friday event is going on now, and with every purchase of $299 or more, you can get a free gift. For example, you can get the 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 carat white gold for $549 and get a free pair of JBL noise-canceling headphones. You can also check out the Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets. These bracelets are flexible and contour to fit her wrist. You can wear one or stack a few for a bolder look, and it makes the perfect gift for her. If you spend $999 or more, you can get a free Nintendo Switch. Of course, it's the holidays, so it's a big time for engagements. Spend $49.99 or more on your engagement ring, you can get a free 85-inch smart TV with that purchase. You can also do what I did with Robert Irwin Jewelers for my wife's engagement ring. I simply brought in a couple of pictures of here's some styles, ideas that she liked. We went to work with it. Howie put it together, and we have a ring that my wife absolutely loves. You can also get free ring sizing for life. Don't forget about the diamond trade-up or Robert Irwin Jewelers' free jewelry spa service for life. You can just take in your jewelry, and you'll get it back, and it looks like the day that you got it. The annual Black Friday sale is going on now. See store for details while supplies last. Also, you can get free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. All right, week 12 of the college football season. Let's start with our team of the week, because to me it's like, okay, it is interesting now how Georgia's in this weird spot. Bill Conley wrote about it a little bit, where it's like Georgia's kind of in the no-win category. It's like, they have a very big win, but at the same time, you're like, it's Georgia. What do you expect? But I do think, given where they were, back against the wall, and really needing to see a clean game from Carson Beck, I think that they were very much up for team of the week. I'd also listen to an argument for Kansas. And then my off-the-wall one, despite the fact that this game cost me a lot of money late night as I was chasing, New Mexico's now a win away at Hawaii from bowl eligibility. They knock off Washington State late, and that got them. They kind of needed to steal one late so that they could still get to bowl eligibility, because now they'll have Hawaii. It's on the island, and Hawaii's much improved. But that was a big win for New Mexico. Big win for Bronco.
Yeah, that's, I'll be honest, that's a game that I'm pretty frustrated about, because on my podcast on Wednesday, me and my colleague Wes Reynolds threw out a bunch of double-digit dogs that could win outright, and we settled in on New Mexico as being the option. At home against Wazoo kind of be the peak of their powers. New Mexico can score a ton, and I didn't bet the damn game. So,
and that's literally how the game played out.
Yeah, I'm pretty annoyed that I didn't get there. By the way, I've been tracking this. We've now had a double-digit favorite or double-digit dog win outright every single week. Four of them hit this weekend. Syracuse over Cal, New Mexico over Washington State, Louisiana Tech over Western Kentucky, and how about Stanford as a 3-touchdown dog beat Louisville?
More on that one in a minute.
Also, you had UMass catching like 16, should have beat Liberty. Kennesaw State, who I give them honorable mention team in the week because they fired their coach. They had 9 starters in the portal, and they forced overtime against Sam Houston State. Pitt almost beat Clemson.
More on that in a minute.
Missouri almost beat South Carolina. Wisconsin was up a touchdown going into the fourth quarter, and then on Thursday night, Tulsa was like a 16-point dog to East Carolina. Look, I think the team of the week, no doubt, is Georgia.
By the way, Tulsa also had like first and goal from the 3 because I had that game.
Yeah, I really liked Washington on Friday night, but I didn't want to lay 5.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, should have done that. But I was like, East Carolina needs this win for bowl eligibility. That'll beat Tulsa, and I had to sweat that out like a dope. Don't get cute. Just stick with your belief system. But my team of the week obviously would be Georgia. I'll give an honorable mention to Arizona State, man. We mentioned it briefly there in the open. They're 8-2. Like, Kenny Dillingham, like, this team might be a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but he deserves a boatload of credit for how this team has played this year. And, you know, to beat Kansas State as around a touchdown dog, Kansas State coming off of a loss, off of a bye, and you went in there and won that game, you know, you look at this team right now, and they've got 2 losses in conference. You know, you think back to the start of the year. Week 1, they played Wyoming. Everybody and their mother, including myself, was like, I think this is too many points. They won by 6 touchdowns. Following week, beat Mississippi State. Following week, they played Texas State on the road on a short week. The line went from Arizona State -3 to Texas State -3. And they won the game. They deserve a ton of credit. Odds makers don't believe in them, but they're a pretty good football team. And I'll tell you what, Saturday night or Saturday afternoon against BYU, why is that not a night game? I don't know. Sellout down in Tempe, got BYU coming to town. Better be on your P's and Q's, BYU.
It's tough to get all of them to care. And I'm with you. Like we've talked about this early in the year. Like if you're not going to be like a great team, and Arizona State has massively overachieved, that's the type of team that you want to root for. Like they're well coached, they're fun, and they play their absolute
guts out. Their best player is a Sacramento State transfer.
Yeah,
KM Scatabo. The dude is a just bulldozes people.
No, they're the exact team that you want. All right, our Heisman of the week. He's been maligned. I'm giving him credit. I know I've kind of been stumping for him. I don't think every problem that Georgia has is him, but hey, that's why you get the Lambo. That's why you get to date a Cavender twin. Carson Beck, I thought, was awesome on Saturday night. He played really clean football. He started running it a little bit more. Like, in the end, like, he had to make some really big throws, and sitting on a Tennessee ticket, like, right when they got the ball back, I was like, they're not stopping him. I just thought he was really, really good on Saturday night.
Early on, he did not look great, and I'm like, man, here we go again. Like, this is the guy. This is the best you can do. That second half, look, if Georgia is playing at the top of their game, like they did defensively at Texas, or they did in the second half against Tennessee, they're the best team in the country. The problem is Carson Beck has a problem throwing the ball to the other team at times, but fumbling. I truly believe in a year where there's so much parity and you can make a case for a bunch of teams, I think if they are capable of, and I'm not saying they're going to do it, but if they're capable of playing like they did in the second half, I think they have a chance to do it, man.
Okay, so I think this is a tougher one. Dumpster fire of the week. Here's some ones I threw out for you because I don't feel as much conviction. Like,
by the way, my Heisman of the week, I'll just give it to Travis Hunter.
You've accepted it now.
He's winning it.
Yeah,
and he should. And
he's the best player in college. He's the best player in college.
You know, and I'll just say this real quickly. I have tickets on basically everyone but Ashton Gentry and Travis Hunter, so I'm not going to win anything here. But off of the precedent of what the Heisman has been in recent history, I didn't think Travis Hunter would win the Heisman. He should win the Heisman. I think he will win the Heisman. And good for him. The dude's awesome. He is an absolute superstar. And he plays every snap, every game. His interception was a little bit lucky, whatever. It was off a deflection. His catch on third down was ridiculous.
Yes.
Like, went go-go gadget arms. I don't know how he made that catch. Did Deion throw in a little reverse late in the game to add to the Heisman candidacy? Of course. But who cares?
That's what everybody does.
He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. My runner-up would have been Devin Dampier. That dude was awesome for New Mexico.
Yes, he that guy's a fun watch, too. Like, because yeah. He kind of has the anything could happen moment whenever he takes the snap. All right, so for dumpster fires, we could give it to LSU. I mean, I still think, like, LSU's kind of a victim of, like, man, you played a tough schedule, and it's just Brian Kelly's such an unlikable type. It makes you want to probably root for their demise more so.
It is so fun to be a Notre Dame fan, and we've got this charismatic, good-looking, you know, black guy as our coach, young dude. It's like
energy,
dresses
likeable,
well, yes. Seems super likeable. And yeah. I'm like,
your coach is cool.
When we had Brian Kelly, I was like, yeah, I kind of get it.
He's a winner.
I get it. I still like him, but no, it was. Yeah, that was lovely.
I thought about throwing out Maryland. You would have a better sense. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that Maryland should, you know, always beat Rutgers, but like it should at least be competitive. And now there's kind of the what are we doing here moment. Southern Miss, I know they've got lame duck coach. Like, you know, you've already fired your coach, whatnot. But I mean, that team is just absolutely like I just think back to when Jeff Brower was there. Like Bauer was there. Like, man, this used to be like an awesome like. G5 program, and now like I don't even know what that job is.
How about Oregon State?
Yep, I'll listen to an argument for there.
So Oregon State, I'm sure many people didn't watch it. I watched it because I had Air Force, so that was an easy winner. They're a disaster right now. I don't know what has happened. I mean, obviously they lost Jonathan Smith and their whole staff and their whole team essentially, but this was a team that, you know, started off 4-1. Beat Colorado State, who is undefeated in the Mountain West. Just saying. Colorado State's going to lose this weekend. But
we thought that last weekend.
That's true. Good point. You thought it more so than me. Mm-hmm. They had 175 yards of offense against Air Force, an Air Force team that was 2-7, who was 1-8, was like 0-8 against the spread to start the year. But
back to back big Mountain West wins.
Oregon State has just, they're done. They have that season seems like it is completely ship has sailed there. Hey, shouts to Kent State though. Earlier in the week, they got their first lead of the year.
Yes, so 7-0. And I had to hold on. I took 30 on that game. Like it was like 30 and a half. And like I needed a fumble deep inside Kent State territory. They might be the worst tackling team I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. It's truly remarkable. They take
can
on
we just throw the Dallas Cowboys in there, or do we have to wait for an NFL segment?
Yeah, let's wait. Let's save that for the NFL. Let's save that because obviously we hurt
Dallas.
We hurt from this Cowboy fans.
How about dumpster fire of the week? AT&T Stadium.
AT&T Stadium.
Whole lot going on there. We had the fight on Friday. We had things falling from the roof yesterday. And then, you know, the football team that plays there also had to apparently played a football game yesterday,
well,
too.
Eli dropped this stat that apparently, dating back to the Packers game, the Cowboys have had a 3-touchdown deficit in every single game. At home. I should specify at home. Like that was an unreal one.
They've lost. Yeah, they had a stat on the broadcast. It was like they've had a lead for like 2 minutes in their last 6 games combined, and they've been trailing by double digits for like 109 minutes.
All right, most college football moment of the week. I don't know if you saw this. It was going around on Twitter on Saturday. Southern U had a big boy touchdown. And my guy would not be denied. Recovers a fumble, like bouncing off tackles, just fighting his guts out to get to the end zone. Great touchdown. Gets to the sideline, and you could just tell, like, he had just run a marathon. Like, he left it all on the field. They're, like, showing the sideline thing. That was just an unbelievable college football moment. I loved that one. A couple of the others that I would nominate. Pitt's defense on the allowing Cade Klubnik to essentially run zone read for a touchdown, but basically working as hard as they did to get the lead, and then that defense on that final possession, it's like, that's college football in a nutshell. I'm not a historian in the sense of I've gone back and researched, but this one might be a new one for me. Temple and FAU's coaches both getting fired after Temple beat FAU. I cannot remember a time when both coaches got fired after a game that is still during the regular season.
And Temple, by the way, with that win, got over their season win total. So they exceeded expectations, and they still said, Stan Drayton, get out. You're fired.
Stan probably said thank you.
Yeah. All right. I've got a couple. So I mentioned them already.
One more I'd like to nominate. I have watched the highlights. I've read the box score. I still have no idea how Louisville lost to Stanford. And like the only thing I can chalk it up to, that's college football, man. Like the only thing that makes any sense is like, okay, they had 10 penalties for like 101 yards versus Stanford only having 3 penalties, but it still makes absolutely no sense. Like they won the yardage battle significantly. They were 4-for-4 in the red zone, getting touchdowns. I still have no idea how they lost that game.
I'm going to send you a tweet real quick, as my guy Parker Fleming put it out there. He did his EPA.
Yes. How bad did you get beat?
How bad did you get beat? And by far and away, Louisville is number one. And they did not get beat badly.
I cannot explain it.
I didn't, like, to be honest, man, this game was so far off my radar because
there were a lot of other good games.
It's Louisville, Stanford, and I didn't bet it. So I saw that they won Stanford. I saw it was 35-35. I was like, whoa, look at that. And then they won on a 52-yard field goal, which I believe got bumped up 5 yards because of a penalty.
Of unsportsmanlike after the Hail Mary. They threw a Hail Mary with 10 seconds, and then an unsportsmanlike moved the football up so that the guy could drain like a 57-yarder or whatever it was.
Okay, so a couple moments for me. Number one, Kennesaw State. Their fired head coach was on the walk to the stadium, high-fiving the team
By the way, Biff Poggi showed up at practice yesterday, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So Biff got fired, for those unaware. We could talk more about this on Friday when we're picking games. Teams who have fired their coach the following week are 4-0 ATS. We've got five situations this week. Temple, plus 16.5 at UTSA. UMass, plus 42 at Georgia. Good luck. FAU and Charlotte, it's the battle of fired coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Herman was fired and Biff Poggi was fired. And then Ball State fired their coach and their 12-point dog to Bowling Green. So that's worth keeping an eye on. How about the difference of a game being a muffed pooch punt? Because that's what happened in BYU, Kansas.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, Jaylon Daniels,
yes,
goes back, pooch punts it, and it hits off BYU's face mask. And then a BYU player pounces on the ball, and it squirts out like it's greased. Like,
yep.
Boink! And Kansas jumps right on it. They score a touchdown, and they win 17-13. It was about time that the rabbit's foot was not up the rear end of BYU. And then, I don't know if you saw Van Pelt last night. All time, bad beat, and also bad beat segment. SVP is like, I don't know, Idol's weird, but like, I don't know him. I've interviewed him once or twice. Like, we've got mutual friends. I'm pretty good friends with Stanford Steve. But
he has an ass.